Hello, and welcome to The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage. I'm Father David Sizemore, the chaplain for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm also a pastor in the Diocese of Columbus at Sunbury St. John Newman Catholic Church. And I'm joined in the studio by Dan Timmons. He's the director for the Marriage and Family Life Office of the Diocese of Columbus. And the two of us are working on this and presenting this series on the meaning and mystery of marriage. We're also joined in our studio today for our topic, which is about annulments, by Monsignor John Cody, who is the pastor of St. Christopher Catholic Church in Grandview, Ohio.
Grandview.
Yeah. Welcome.
It's good to be here, Father Sizemore.
We're going to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for marital love, that you call a man and woman together to be in a holy bond, your bond, and that through that bond they might know something of your love and exchange that with one another and the fruit of their love, which are their children. And then from that genesis, from that place of holiness and of love, work begins for so many others as they reach out into the lives of society in general and affect change, transformation, conversion to you. Lord, we also give you thanks for your Holy Catholic Church that not only works with married couples at the beginning, but also when they're hurting. Through counseling, pastoral counseling, clinical counseling, through the support of other couples and friends and family. And Lord, too, that you have called us as your church to help individuals when they have gone through the pains of divorce. And when you call them or they have that sense of a desire to be married in a sacrament and what you provide for your church in the ministry of annulments so that they know that they're free following their conscience, free to follow your call, and free to enter into the sacred bond of the sacrament of marriage. We give you thanks, Lord, for all of who you are in the many stages of our lives and the many ways that you reach out to us in our joys and in our pains and in our new beginnings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So, Dan, recap of where you've been.
Yeah, well, we talked about the scriptural understanding of marriage, God's plan for marriage in the beginning, how Christ came to restore his original plan for marriage, to elevate marriage to a sacrament, how on our wedding day, what we say and what we do through the vows, how we are caught up into this mystery of divine love, marriage as a vocation, a calling from God to holiness, marriage as a sacrament, imaging Christ's love for his bride, the church, and also all of our call to be pure of heart, to live a life of chastity, within and outside of marriage.
And we're teaching today, having a conversation with Monsignor John Cody today, who is a canon lawyer for the Diocese of Columbus. And one of his main ministries in this diocese is not just as a pastor, but also to help pastors and deacons and to help married couples around the diocese when they're working on marriage cases on annulments. We're here with him today. And before Monsignor, we speak about annulments, I think it's important just to say a brief word about marriage. And that is that marriage is not just a sacred bond, as we've learned in our other talks, between a man and a woman, between two individuals. It's not just a civil bond. It's not just a private promise. That it actually is a public reality. It's a sacrament of the church. It's a bond between a man and woman and God, and it's a covenant. And that as we understand it, whenever we enter into a covenant with God, whenever we exchange participating in a sacrament with God, that we're the temporal beings. And God is the everlasting being. He's the unchanging being. He's the permanent being. And so whenever he gives his yes, his I do, his promise, then that marriage is considered to be forever, unless there was something from the very beginning that was defective or deficient. Because while sacraments bind human beings. Sacraments God gives to the church for humanity. God himself is not bound by those sacraments, especially if a sacrament never really existed. And that kind of leads us into our discussion about annulments then. And specifically, where to start is Christ's own teachings about divorce and marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Can you tell us a little about where that is in the scriptures and what that's all about?
Well, it's the Gospel of St. Matthew primarily, Father Sizemore. It's when Jesus talked about divorce and remarriage. And he says it was not that way from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the male and female. For this reason, a man leaves his parents and clings to his wife, and the two become as one, one flesh. Therefore, let no one separate what God has united. And that was Jesus's, because at that particular time, men, and notice that, ladies, men were the only ones who could divorce their wives. Their wives couldn't do it. Jesus made it go both ways. You know, it's not only on the female, but it's also on the male. And Jesus basically said that marriage is indissoluble. It was his teaching that once you're married, it's indissoluble. It can't be dissolved by any human power except for death.
So it can't be dissolved by the individuals. It can't be dissolved by the state, by the government. It can't even be dissolved by the church, can it?
Well, no. No, there are some marriages that we are that are dissolved, one that are non-consummated marriages, mm-hmm. and so forth. And there are some very restricted circumstances in which a marriage can be dissolved.
But our general understanding
is it's until death.
Right.
Until
right.
death. And as you said, the state has an interest in marriage, too, because of its protection of citizens and its civil value. But that's precisely where our problem is here now in the United States, because with the advent of no-fault divorce a number of years ago, the church began to lose control of marriage. In our own tribunal, up until probably, I think, 1963 or 64, there were approximately 12 to 14 annulments that came to the tribunal a year. That's not very many, is it?
No.
But with no-fault divorce, they started rolling in tens, hundreds. So every year we have approximately 200 to 300 marriage cases that come to our tribunal. And the United States has more marriage cases than any other countries of the world put together. We do. And it's precisely because of the instability of marriage in our society. And that's a problem. That's a real problem that we as a church are facing.
So returning back to Matthew chapter 19, Jesus says, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, and marries another, commits adultery." So can you explain that?
Well, there are such things that are illegal and unlawful. And we know in the Catholic Church there's a distinction between invalid and illicit. Illicit means unlawful. Invalid means what you didn't happen because of something that was absent in the action that you were making. For instance, I'd have to get into the whole marriage thing. Do you want me to do that now, or you want to wait?
Yeah, go ahead and just let us know, an example maybe would be helpful.
All right. For instance, let's just say the obvious example. See, there are three ways a marriage can be annulled. And first of all, is there a civil marriage? Yes. Did a marriage exist? Yes. But did it rise to what the church understands marriage to be? That's what we look at.
A sacrament.
Right. As a sacrament, or even with people who are not baptized. You know, the church recognizes
a natural marriage.
Yes. Yeah. The church recognizes the validity of each and every marriage that takes place.
Not just
Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Muslims, whomever. Unless or until it's proven otherwise. And the three ways that a marriage could be null is through either form or impediment or consent. Now, by form, we all know that if you're a Catholic or if you're marrying a Catholic, you have to obey the Catholic Church's form of marriage, which is to be married in the presence of a priest, a bishop, or a deacon, and two witnesses, or to have gotten a dispensation from the canonical form, so that if, let's say, you're a Catholic man marrying a Protestant woman, you can get married in her church. The bishop has to give that. If you don't do that as a Catholic, then the church considers that marriage non-existent.
As a sacrament.
Exactly. Now, the civil thinks it's a marriage, but the church does not consider it such. So marriage has both civil and religious meanings. In fact, we need to, in view of what happened with the Supreme Court yesterday, with the whole, you know, DOMA and gay marriage and all that stuff, I think we Catholics need to start talking about not marriage as such, but holy matrimony, the sacrament of matrimony. We need to almost refer to it as something else, because our understanding of marriage is not exactly what society's understanding of marriage is.
That's true.
And we, as Catholics, have a right to be able to stand up and say, this is what this is. Most people don't believe, not even Protestants believe, that marriage is a sacrament. But we believe that matrimony is a sacrament. And there's two sacraments are ordered to the salvation of others. One is orders, which you and I are in today, and the other is matrimony.
Yeah.
The spouses are ordered to the salvation of each other and their children, their families. So the Church describes marriage as an intimate sharing of life and love, which is ordered to the mutual assistance and enriching of the spouses, and also the procreation and education of children.
And that's all wrapped up in God's love and His presence and His consent and, you know, His promise, His partnership with us in that covenant of love.
Yeah. So back to what you were saying about unlawful, the Church has a considerable body of law concerning marriage. And the reason it does is because prior to around the year 1000, the Church had very little to do with the reality of marriage. It didn't. But you can imagine chaos ensued because people didn't know who was married to who, how many there were married, there were secret marriage, multiple marriages, and so forth. And then when somebody died, who has a right to inheritance, who's married to whom, at what point. So the Church stepped in and said, okay, we're going to bring some order to this chaos. So here's what we have to do to have a valid marriage, okay? And so we have a whole body of law that's existence is to uphold the integrity of the sacrament and also for the protection of the parties in the marriage and also the wider community. Because as you said, Father Dave, matrimony has public consequences too.
Sure, sure.
So when we look in society today, sadly, we have a great number of divorced people, divorced Catholics. I think some statistic I read, almost half of marriages end in divorce. So on one side, the Church wants to do what we can to prevent divorce, to help couples to reconcile who are having difficulties. But then on the other side, once a couple is divorced, the Church wants to welcome them with open arms and with love.
Sure. Most people misunderstand that they think once you're divorced, you're excommunicated, which of course doesn't exist anymore for that. You know, prior to the time of Pope Paul VI, if you divorced and remarried, you were considered excommunicate. But Paul VI lifted that for everybody for all time. So what happens nowadays is that a person divorces, of course, hopefully they would have gone to their parish priest. Hopefully they would have gone to counseling. Hopefully they would have done everything they possibly could to save the marriage. In fact, that's what they come to be. But sadly, when, as you know, Father Dave, they oftentimes come to us when it's too late.
And by too late, you mean either too late in trying to save the marriage,
right?
Or once divorced, now they're dating again, and they found somebody, and they've already gotten themselves engaged, and they come, and you're going to understand, happily so. We want to get married in the Church,
right.
And they either don't know about the annulments, which is remarkable, but again, in our post-Christian modern society, that happens, where they don't think the annulment applies to them or any number of other scenarios,
exactly.
And then they become resentful that the Church is somehow holding them back or denying them the sacrament, and all we're trying to do is to make sure that they, as Christians, because they value their Christian faith, follow the teachings of Christ and look at what was unlawful from the beginning, meaning something that was defective or deficient or not free, something was incapacitated from the very beginning, before they ever said their I do's.
So what they don't understand is that marriage is not just personal. It is. That's what our culture says. It's a personal thing that you can get in and out of at will.
Right.
And so you have people who have serial marriages, you know, 6, 7, 8 times. Hollywood stars used to, now ordinary people are doing this. But it's the church, following the teaching of Christ, her respect for marriage, that when that couple comes in, as you were talking about, Dave, as they come in to me and they say, we want to get married, and the first question I ask was, were either of you ever married before, even civilly? And if they say, yes, I was, I says, okay, the pen goes down, and I says, now tell me about your former marriage. And then, knowing canon law as I do, I'm pretty good at ascertaining what kind of a case they're going to have. Sometimes it's form. They said, I'm Catholic, but I didn't get married in the church. I says, well, did you get a dispensation for the canonical form? What's that? So I explained that.
And by the way, that is actually a very easy and very quick process to go through,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it isn't even judicial. It's considered administrative. It's just a declaration by saying, here's proof, you know, that they were never married in a Catholic ceremony, never got the marriage con validated, which means approved, made valid according to the Catholic Church law.
And at that point, we as priests then can say to them, let's bring this civil marriage into the Catholic form.
And we can also say, the reason for this is the church still considers you to be bound by that former marriage.
Right.
So we have to get you free from that marriage in order for you to marry this person. And a lot of people who are not Catholics don't understand this. Why? Because of our culture.
Yeah.
And they hop in and out of marriage very quickly. But the church says, what God has joined, no one must divide. So the annulment process, first of all, every marriage is presumed valid and binding until death, unless or until it's proven otherwise.
Right.
And that's what we try to do by the investigation and the judicial process that we call annulments.
So, again, to go back to this and clarifications for folks who have found themselves in a position where they never thought they would find themselves when they, entered into marriage, and that is divorced. There's a lot of misconceptions that divorces, people can't participate fully in the life of the church, or they're somehow second-class Catholics. That's simply not true, is it?
No, that's the way they feel. Yeah. I mean, I counseled many divorced people in my ministry of 40 years now, and the problem is even in the, quote, best of circumstances, it's always traumatic, and you feel like a failure when your marriage falls apart. And so a lot of people feel funny even about going to church because their friends and neighbors are, how's Bob or whoever they were married to or Sally or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just painful for them. So one of the things that you have to do is to get in touch with them and say, hey, you're going through a rough time. You need the sacraments. You need this. You need the strength the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Eucharist can give to you. And the church community as well. You need that. And if they say, I just can't walk in your church, I says, good. Go to another church, go to another parish, for a while,
right,
until you feel strong enough. But the problem with receiving communion and the sacraments only comes up if the person marries again, not according to the laws of the Catholic Church, until that first marriage has been dealt with to see if it's valid.
And why is that, Monsignor Cody? Why can't, because we hear that, don't we? Objections either from individuals who are in those situations or their family members or just Catholics in general. Why can not a Catholic who has been married, divorced, and remarried outside of our Christian beliefs, why can they not participate in Holy Communion at that point?
Well, canonically speaking, a person who has gotten married again without having gone through church channels is considered to be living in an objective, formal state of sin. Okay. In other words, their witness is not to the witness of how Christ loves the church, as St. Paul said, but it's living in a relationship that is actually, at this point, polygamous, not in the eyes of the church. It's not monogamous at all. But the church has compassion toward people who are divorced and remarried again. They're not out of the community. I can remember Cardinal Dolan talking eloquently about this recently. And he says, we want to help them. And, of course, we all know stories, I'm sure you do, Father Dave, of people who were divorced, remarried, and they had children, and they were told not to receive the sacraments, and they went to church faithfully, raised the kids Catholics for 25, 30 years, and so forth. Were maybe told long ago that there was nothing that can be done about their marriage, and they finally, the priest approaches them and says, hey, you don't go to communion, what's the problem? And then he finds out that maybe years and years ago nothing could have been done. But according to the revision of the Code of Canon Law and our understanding of human psychology and so forth, there are ways now of reconsidering a marriage, and there are more grounds of nullity. Just because our advances in understanding of the human person and the dynamics of human relationships have helped us understand how things might go wrong from the very beginning. And as you said, this is the locus of the examination. We look at from the time they meet to the time of the contract, the ceremony, the marriage ceremony, and also the honeymoon and how the marriage gets off. Anything that happens after marriage is only relevant in that it refers to the time of contract and dating.
For instance, if there was infidelity in the marriage, one of the first questions we often ask is, was there that type of behavior during the dating period, during the engagement period? Because then that can help us to look more deeply at that individual who had committed adultery and see if, in fact, there was some sort of defect in that person long before they even met their potential spouse.
That's right. Yeah. Two things can happen. Number one, in that particular case of infidelity, she can be totally ignorant of it, or she can look the other way because she really wants to marry him. You know, or she can engage in what we call magical thinking, that somehow once we get married, everything's just going to be wonderful.
Right.
And of course, as we always thought, you know, the person that you're marrying is the person that has been. But we find this with alcohol abuse, with even physical abuse, with all this, that this all took place before marriage. Maybe they even called off the engagement for a while, but they thought, well, what the heck, we've spent the money, we bought the cake, the dress is gone, we've got to go through with this. We have a lot of those cases where they had really serious doubts, but they felt they had to get married because of the social obligations.
So that now there are a lot of people out there who have gone through divorce, maybe wondering, is the annulment process for me? What exactly does it involve? Is it difficult? How do I begin? Where do I begin?
Good question. You begin by calling up your friendly neighborhood priest or deacon in your parish.
That'd be me. And,
right. Or me, for that matter, too. Although we do have a number of deacons who've been trained in this also and are very helpful in this whole respect. So sit down and say, I'd like to talk about this because either I want to get married or I'm already married to a person that the church does not recognize the marriage to, and I want to be able to straighten out my marriage according to the laws of the Catholic Church. You know, I want this to be a sacrament and so forth.
And then at that point, I set an appointment with the person. They sit down, and I just start asking a bunch of questions. I imagine you do the same thing, Monsignor
right.
Cody. And he has a far better understanding of the church's laws, marriage laws, than I do. But over the years, we learn a lot of these things, and it's very quickly. Usually within about 4 or 5 or 10 minutes of that conversation that I get the sense of what went wrong from the very beginning.
Right.
Then we have a discussion about what marriage is and what it isn't, because I don't think we can ever really help people in annulments unless they can truly understand and appreciate what marriage is.
Right. Especially, you've got to catechize.
Yeah, especially if they are in a new civil marriage, and particularly, you know, if they want to be in a sacramental marriage again. So
sure.
Explain to them what marriage is, explain to them then what an annulment is, figure out what is going on and what went on prior to the marriage. We have discussions about those potential grounds for an annulment, mean reasons for the nullity of the marriage from the beginning, and then I take them through the annulment process. I mean the application itself.
Well, see, that's the hardest part. Is you give them the forms, you tell them what they have to do, then they have to go home and tell the story, and I tell them this is going to be painful because you have to walk down memory lane. Wait, but once they get their statement down, I'd say come in and see me. Then I go over the statement with them.
No.
But I ask them further questions to clarify because they didn't understand the question.
Right, right.
They didn't understand the question. Then what happens is we have the signings. The oath that this is the truth, the assignment of the priest as the procurator, that is power of attorney. He could act in the name of the client. This is a whole legal process. I mean, you've got judges. You have a defender of the bond who's roughly equivalent, but not exactly equivalent to the prosecuting attorney. You have evidence that's given, and you have evidence that comes in and is abstracted and added. And then finally it goes to judgment. And that process can take anywhere from 5 to 6 to 12 months, or if it's a sticky case, even more. I have one that's a 3-judge panel that was submitted in 2011. It's been hanging around now for over 2 years.
But those are the exceptions. You know, yeah. I've been a priest for 17 years. And most of the cases I've been a part of have been right around that range of 6 months to 9 months and so forth. You know, I hear what you're saying, that it is a painful process to go down memory lane. But at the same time, what I've noticed is that when they actually sit down to write those 39 questions, because it's usually about 39 questions, they can kick that thing out in one evening. You know, or the course of a weekend or something like that. And then that comes back to me. And then the process gets rolling and it goes through several stages. You just described it. But what the healing process is what
the
I
healing,
want to end,
exactly.
What I would like to end with.
I have to assure them that they that this is like turning the page once and for all on the former annulment, or the former marriage, rather. And I tell them, because half of the people don't come back after you give them the form. They don't, because it's too painful. I have to assure them that this is going to be good for you. This is going to be healing for you, but you've got to take it out and look at what it was. You've got to look at the truth with a view to, we're going to learn from this experience and get into a better marriage if this is in the cards for them. Some people don't want to be married again.
And along those lines, I find that when they do come into the annulment process, they are willing to do that. Again, it can be troublesome to go through these things, but then they're looking at their lives with their former spouse or ex-spouse, guided by the wisdom in the eyes of the church, and asking questions that they maybe never have asked before, and finding then answers that they never had considered before. And in finding those answers, that helps them then to not make those same mistakes if they, you know, the grounds was with them, or to be involved with somebody who had made mistakes that had deeply affected and pained their life. And being free from that, then they are free to follow their conscience, free to follow the scripture, free to follow the church's teachings, and they can sit in the pew having been in a remarried state, knowing that they're in a right relationship with God and with His church, and with a free conscience, and not making being part of the same mistakes over and over.
That's what we hope for.
Hearing you right, the truth can be difficult, it can be painful. But just as Christ said, the truth will set you free.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's the case with annulments. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask you to bless our ministry as Catholics, to provide for our fellow brothers and sisters who have gone through the pains of divorce and do want that truth, do want to know your truth, do want to follow your truth, and do want to know the truth of their past relationship, so that they might be free from that, and they might be free to follow their conscience and free to follow Christ's teachings about marriage and divorce and remarriage, and free also, Lord, to love fully again in the sacrament of marriage. We ask you, Lord, to bring about that healing and to bring about that truth that sets free in the lives of all of our Catholic brothers and sisters who have experienced divorce. And may we support them, may we pray for them, may we know that they're always welcome in our parishes, and that we love them with Christ's love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love,